We have a special guest today, Chris Anthony, co-founder, co-CEO of the Aptera solar charge electric vehicle that we are in love with.
Yes.
And many of you are in love with, and he's going to talk about it in person. Thank you for being here, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for making the time.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
We can't tell you how excited we are about the launch edition. I mean, bravo.
Yes.
It was some things about it that, like the interior, I wouldn't have chosen that color. I wouldn't have chosen the outside color. But when I saw it, I'm like, it's perfect. This is what I should have wanted to choose anyway.
I'm in love with the rose gold. Is that going to be exclusive to the launch edition?
That is a good question. You know, we haven't determined how many different kinds of center consoles we want to have available. The launch edition will have, you know, the first center console. But by the time we build those first 5,000 vehicles and have the next 1,000 vehicles, we may just have more options for center consoles. You can get a black one or a blue one or a gray one. It may be just that the rose gold kind of goes away after the launch edition. Jason Hill loves the rose gold. He is a big proponent, but you know, a lot of the vehicle configuration for the launch edition was really feedback from all of our people who had deposits on the vehicle. So we knew what the most popular color was and what the most popular interior was, and we could kind of run with those numbers. We knew that the vast majority, like 80% of people, had the full solar package. The majority, I think 65%, had the all-wheel drive package. So, you know, we could, hey, this is what you guys want. This is what we want to deliver, and just make that the most configured product be the launch edition vehicle.
We think it's so smart, and we don't know the stuff, you know, but just to have one model to start with, that was like you brought it out in the webinar too about how that really can be a mess up going into production with all these options. So bravo again. We think that's going to get our Aptera quicker, and we have you to thank for us. Thanks.
Yeah. And we really appreciate that you went to the community to see what was there to make the decisions. That is really inclusive, and we think it's really cool.
But I know the community did not tell you that they don't want DC fast charging. sure of that.
You know, it wasn't an option. So it wasn't something that people could select. I think if we would have put it on the website and said, you can get the camping kit, the off-road kit, DC fast charge, we'd have probably learned, hey, 80% of people want this. So we should probably make sure we have it. You know, but as we said in our little video announcement about making available DC fast charge to all these launch edition vehicles, you know, it really was a consideration 4-6 months ago of all we have is a CCS2 charge plug, and it's a nightmare to package. We do not want to have to figure out how to package this plug. So I think, you know, collective engineering thought at the time was, let's put DC fast charge to the back of our mind. Let's just concentrate on what we can get to market as quickly as possible. And so it just kind of fell off the map. And I think, you know, we're kind of trapped in our bubble. We've got our heads down. We're engineering. We're trying to make, you know, this vehicle happen in the next year. And sometimes things just get away from you. And this is one of those things that got away from us. And the public told us very vocally that they wanted DC fast charge. So we went back to the engineers and said, we had it designed, you know, what would it take to resurrect this? And they said, well, all the hardware is done. You know, we have some firmware validation to do, but, you know, everything's there to do DC faster. Okay, well, what rates can we charge at? Well, everything's specced out for 40 kilowatts of charging, but we need to do some validation. It could be, you know, as much as 60 after we do some testing and, you know, see how the heat transfers through the components. And maybe we're just fine. Maybe we just have to limit the charge rate on very, very hot days. So maybe if you're in Tucson or Phoenix and it's 125 degree day, maybe you're only charging 35 kilowatts. Yeah. But you know, that's something we can do in software, and you know, there's good monitoring all around our battery pack to see what the temperatures are. So you know, takes a bit of time for us to give you a final number, but I think it's great. Hey, we're gonna have a 400 to 600 mile DC fast charge, and I think that rate stands up, you know, with everything else. And it also will give us access to a lot of what other vehicles would consider inferior DC fast charge out there. You know, if you have a very large EV, like a lot of companies are putting out nowadays, and you need 150, 200, 250 kilowatts of charging power, you don't want to go to those old DC fast charge that only do 50 kilowatts of charging. You only want to go to the new super DC fast charges. But for us, 50 kilowatts is great. That's 500 miles an hour. That's perfect. So hopefully it will open up a lot of DC fast charge opportunities for us including the supercharger network, which is a work in progress, but we're fully compatible with the Tesla supercharger network. So, you know, we hope that that comes to fruition in the next couple months.
And so what a lot of people I don't think understand yet, and you just explained it so well, the Aptera can use a much smaller battery to go so much farther. So nobody needs to charge faster than 400 miles in an hour. But if I spend that same hour with my Nissan Leaf, I'm only going to get 60 miles, you know, or 70 miles. You know, it's just ridiculous. Well, I mean, because that's all I could get, period. So no matter how long I spend there. Right. But if the my 30 kilowatt battery from my Leaf was in your Aptera, you'd get 300 miles of range.
Yeah.
Barely get 100 with a tailwind on a perfect day. So a slower charging speed is fine. It's more than fine. It's preferred. It's less heat. It's beautiful. So I think, you know, we're just blown away. Also, the humility of you and Steve and the team to say, hey, maybe we didn't get this one thing right. So let's fix it. That was beautiful.
And you Good fixed example. It so fast. I mean, you were on it right away to let everybody know, okay, don't panic. And it's just, it's really refreshing to see a company, a car company that is taking into account what people want. So a lot of times they'll just, okay, here's what you get, buy it or don't buy it. But we haven't seen Aptera take that view, and it's very refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, bigger vehicle programs cost billions and billions of dollars. And you have to amortize for such high volume production so much of that, that you have to make all the decisions up front, because you have to amortize a whole program over 500, 600, a million vehicles worth of production. So, you know, Detroit is notorious for, you know, overthink on things. And then when a vehicle actually comes out, like, that's it. You don't, there's no going back. There's no talking to the big automakers about making changes to your beloved whatever vehicle, because it is locked down. They are building that. They're building 500,000 of them, and ain't nothing going to change. So I think we're young, we're nimble, we're not afraid to fail. You know, it's an ethos that we try to spread across our engineering departments. You know, don't get so caught up in perfection that you never make a decision. And that's a lot of what we do. You know, we wanted to announce the launch edition vehicle. There's a lot to think about, you know, in terms of what we want to say and how we want to say it. I know it came off maybe a little too scripted, but there was just so much information that we wanted to get across. You know, we're like, we need to have this written down. I can't just be Chris pulling it out of his ear and telling the public this for 2 hours. We have to have a very systematic method. But you know, don't be afraid to just get it out there. And we got it out there, and we got some feedback, and we made the changes. And you know, luckily it was something that, you know, wasn't a big hurdle for us. We already had it designed in. We were thinking about it. We tested DC fast charge over a year ago. So, you know, I think it was just a matter of just turn it back on and make people happy.
I think you made a lot of goodwill, because every company is going to make a decision that maybe they wish they wouldn't, but not every company is going to then make it right to the people that have been supporting you all this time. So to me, I'd rather somebody that fails and gets back up than somebody that just pretends they're perfect no matter what the community says. So we can't. Well, let's get away from that. You've solved it. You've explained it perfectly.
We're thrilled. We're so thrilled. Excited.
Our viewers are thrilled. And yes, Everybody's excited. Let's get back to the LE edition, because you LE. Is it okay to call it LE? Or do you not like that? Launch edition?
Yeah, that's fine. If it catches fire.
Or California edition. Okay, so
we've been calling it the launch edition. So
launch edition, we'll go with that. You said 5,000 is the plan, but if a bunch of people change their reservation to that, you would make more. Is there a top number? Is there a point where you say that's enough launch edition? Let's change it up.
That's a good question. I don't know that we've thought of a top number. 5,000 just seemed comfortable. You know, we have so many orders now, over 40,000 orders for the Aptera, that, you know, hey, the first 5,000, you know, delivered in California are going to be pretty easy to accomplish. So if it's a lot more than that, I'm sure it could be 10,000. I know the first, you know, Tesla Model 3s, the first 200,000 of those things were so sought after, you know, people selling their reservations online. And the first vehicles, a lot of people just bought those vehicles and turned around and sold them. So, you know, I would think that we're going to be capacity constrained for quite a while, the first couple of years at least. So probably, you know, yeah, 20,000-25,000 launch edition vehicles might not be out of the question, but 5,000 is comfortable. We want the people that get the first vehicles to feel special. And I think, you know, kind of classing those vehicles differently is appropriate, but if I had to guess, it'd be 5,000 to 10,000.
Okay. So You mentioned California. We know you want to start out close to home, so you could, you know, make any adjustments needed. How long before this starts moving towards, let's say, just a random
state? Pick a
state,
random state.
Michigan. You know, here, well, where we are.
You know, the weird thing about a beautiful solar electric vehicle like ours that has a pretty good range and DC fast charge is you can come from a lot of states and come to California and pick up your vehicle and drive home. So we think, you know, a lot of these vehicles will, you know, find their way to different parts of the nation and probably different parts of the world. But, you know, there's some regulations that we have to comply with to sell in some other states and some fickleness there that seems to be getting sorted out slowly through legislation and work in different states, not just for us, but for other companies that want to sell direct. But if we have the first vehicles delivered in California, we can make sure people get kind of the factory experience and we can train them on the vehicle. And, you know, I think it just makes a lot of sense to do that. And, you know, the majority of our orders are, you know, within 300 miles of here. So, you know, I think it's pretty easy to just say, hey, you know, that the factory's here, we want to deliver all the first vehicles here for obvious reasons. But, you know, we're a right to repair company. And the Aptera is built to be such a reliable vehicle. You know, all you should have to worry about is changing your tires and your washer fluid. So, you know, we have a little bit of fear in hey, some of these vehicles may be going pretty far away. You know, we want to make sure that if there's some early issues that we can take care of them quickly. But we, you know, as I said before, you know, letting fear hold you back is not the way to go through life. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if somebody really, really wants this vehicle in the middle of Texas, because they have a lot of sun and just want the Aptera in their life, I don't see a reason why it shouldn't be there. So
not exactly the answer I wanted, but pretty good. Thank you.
No, because I think if somebody was highly motivated and say maybe they had like a YouTube channel and they were willing to drive to California to pick theirs up and they were willing to cooperatively work with you on the right to repair from a distance, I think that would be a really good fit.
But to try to find somebody like that.
I'm in California. You get a hug from the founders. You get your Aptera delivery experience. You know, you get trained and, you know, then you're on your way. You
yes.
get
a nice
journey. You're back. A good hugger, Chris. We still remember that hug you gave us. I still feel it right there.
I'm a Southern boy, so we hug.
That's right. Yep. That's right. We have some questions about the Delta. Are you going to be making prototypes of the Delta still by hand ahead of mass production to start testing and maybe touring around the world?
I don't know that they would be called Delta anymore by the time we make them. You know, what we're headed towards now is building production tooling for production. Wow. There's still validation to be had there, and there may be some slight push and pull of the design, but we have such good design partners, you know, from Roush to Monroe and Associates to CPC to Hinduja Tech. You know, we have people involved in this program that know how to make production vehicles, and CPC takes vehicles, you know, from CAD to building the tool, to building the parts out of the tool, to putting those parts on an assembly line and building full turnkey vehicles of some of the most impressive supercars you've ever seen. And, you know, with that kind of experience, you know, we feel that we can turn the key to production tooling and production equipment right away without kind of going through some of, you know, the other companies you've heard of in the EV space going to series production, and then going through validation with the series production and then going to production tools. You know, we've simplified the design, everything's made in subsystems. So we're going to go to production tooling and production equipment and then do validation on that, knowing that maybe there's some changes. Luckily with production tooling, you can usually make things thicker. You just can't make things thinner. So if you make something stronger, you can change your production tooling to make something stronger in one area. But it's hard to make it. It's hard to take out weight once you get into validation. But it's easier to add stiffness or add structure in a lot of these tools and parts. So that's the strategy that we're going with, and we're also really confident in the computational tools that we have for simulation now. I mean, it's over the last 10 years, the automotive industry has really proved out, you know, you just don't have to put as many vehicles against the wall for crash testing as you did 2 decades ago, because the simulations tell you exactly what's going to happen. Our suspension models, you know, correlating with real life, it shows us exactly what's going to happen. You know, failure analysis, FEA parts bending and breaking and stuff, like the computer, it knows how that part's going to work. So, you know, we're trusting in the simulation tools to know what's going to happen in validation. And we've seen it, you know, with a lot of other companies that, you know, if the computer says that's how it's going to act, then once you get to validation, that's how it's going to act. So, you know, it gives us a lot of confidence to kind of not wallow in this series production tooling phase and have kind of a whole nother expense category before you actually get to production tooling.
Well, that's awesome. Exciting.
So what about the idea then of maybe the Gamma or any of the other prototypes making their way to other areas in the country? Because, you know, we had to fly 2,200 miles to see this thing, but people in Detroit, people in New York, Boston, Florida, they would love to see this. Texas.
Yeah, everyone that came out to Fully Charge, it was an amazing event, and it was just really cool to show off the Gamma vehicle and have, you know, 2,000 people sit in it and give us feedback. You know, there wasn't a single person at the show that didn't fit in the Aptera comfortably.
Right.
So, you know, from 5'2 to 6'10, people were comfortable in the Aptera. So I thought it was an amazing compliment to Jason and the design team and how we worked out the ergonomics and how it's set and feel. But we want that experience all across the U.S. We would love to be everywhere at once. We'd love to be omnipresent. But I don't know that we're going to build anything else besides Gamma until we get our first production vehicle out of CPC. So it's going to be a highly sought after vehicle. Right now it's in Italy. It's about to make a trip over to Switzerland, and then hopefully come back. You know, we're still raising funding, and the US markets have been very difficult the last 9 months. But Europe, India, parts of Asia, the Middle East, those people still have very active investment environments, and people are investing in big projects to make the world a better place in those places. So we've kind of had to go to them. that's why Gamma is traveling. But obviously we want to get this funded, and we want to get the vehicles into production in the next year so we can start delivering to people and making people happy with solar mobility.
Excellent. We can't wait. Yeah. We're very excited about what you're doing. It's funny. And I know you know this already, but the community that you've built around Aptera, we're a little bit different than other people. We want to know every bolt and everything. We want to, and you've been very kind as a company to really pull the curtain back and let us in. And we appreciate that, Chris. That's not so. I can't call Chris Farley's cousin Jim over there at Ford and have him get a factory tour. You know, but you gave us a factory tour, you know, so we're
tremendously humbled that people see our vision for a more efficient transportation future, that solar mobility, you know, should be a thing that's in people's lives. And people have opened up their pocketbooks to put down reservations on the vehicle. They've invested. We have over 15,000 investors in Aptera now. It's been an amazing show of support. And, you know, I think in other companies that I've had and the early Aptera from a decade ago, you know, a lot of tech companies are like, we need to keep the secret. We need to stay under wraps and don't tell anybody until it's perfect, and then come out and make a big splash and try to raise a bunch of money. That's not the way that we wanted to grow this company. We said, look, you know, we feel that we can build a community behind this idea, but we have to be open and honest with them about everything. And I've been accused many times of oversharing. I'm a fire hose of information sometimes. But I think that's just the best policy. Like, one, if you're overtly honest, you're not crafting a message that can then bite you later. And I think a lot of companies have done that in our space and in other space, you've seen, you know, countless times. Where you try to craft the narrative, craft the story, project what you think you want your customers want to hear, and you tell them that, and then it gets further down the line and maybe things get difficult, or maybe the product isn't what you thought it could be. And then you have to roll that back, and nobody trusts you anymore. You know, you haven't been open and honest, and you get to the end of it, and then they're like, well, why did I ever support this? Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. I think if we're open and honest, and the capabilities of our vehicle, and the capabilities of our team, and the capabilities of our partners, and how we're going to get this to production, warts and all, that people will support us. I think everybody realizes it's a challenge. None of this is easy. It's been a rough, you know, it's almost 4 years now, three and a half years. It's been a lot of work, a lot of long days, a lot of innovative thinking. And, you know, I couldn't count the number of things that have blown up that we've worked on, literally sometimes. Oh, That, you know, that you just have to, okay, that path didn't work. You got to divert and go on a different path, and fail quickly is another motto of ours that, you know, don't be afraid to fail, but try to fail quickly. Don't drag something along for 3 months and then fail and then have to go back and do all that over again. You know, figure out a way to fail in a week. And if you fail, great, you know, okay, that doesn't quite work. I got to take a new direction. But you know, that I think that story about how we're doing it and the challenges is something that people recognize. Everybody has challenges in their life. Everybody has, you know, struggles, and a company goes through that just like people go through that. And, you know, there's a lot of great people behind Aptera, and I think we've tried to make them as available as possible. You know, we went to fully charge. We told the engineers, like, just tell people how cool it is to be a part of this project and what you're working on and why it's different and important. A lot of these guys came from other industries and other jobs, and they believe in this mission and what Aptera is going to do for the world. And they're facing super unique challenges here in building the world's most efficient vehicles and light weighting and efficiency, you know, weird things like, you know, bearing efficiency, the wheel bearings in our wheel. They have to be just much more efficient than kind of anything else out there, because a 6,000 pound truck doesn't care about their wheel bearing efficiency. But when you're only burning 100 watt hours per mile, you really care about how much friction's in a bearing that's turning in the system. And, you know, it's a trickle down, you know, to all that stuff, the weight of the hinges, the weight of the seals, you know, how efficient our solar charge controller is. We've got amazing efficiency out of our solar charge controller. It's like, we don't want to waste any of the power that's hitting, you know, the solar energy is hitting our roof. We want that to go to the battery pack. We don't want to waste 20% of it. You know, 4% of it. Okay. You know, that's like one of the most efficient power conversion devices in the world. That's great. So a lot of really huge accomplishments, you know, for a lot of great team members. And we've told them, you know, just share the story, just like we share the story. When people ask Chris a question, Chris answers.
For sure. For sure. And we love hearing this story, and so do our viewers. It's amazing. So this is a real important question. What's it like working with Steve?
Steve is the yin to my yang. You know, he's more the conservative, calculated type. I'm more the go type, so we play off each other nicely there. And he's the electrical engineering type, and I'm the mechanical engineering type. So we kind of see the world through a different lens. You know, I'm always looking for the brute force method to solve the problem. And he's looking at the compound wave frequency that might be oscillating at a certain, you know, hertz.
So when 5 o'clock comes, you don't speak to him again until you see him again.
No, we talk probably too often.
Okay.
No, this is a 18 hour a day kind of job. So,
oh yeah, sure.
It's an always on thing. And, you know, we also are able to cover each other quite well. So there's a lot of balls in the air, and, you know, having somebody there, as your co-CEO to kind of be there when you can't be there, or to, you know, catch things that maybe you're missing, or just to work together, you know, where two brains are better than one. Type things has been really beneficial. I mean, we call ourselves co-CEO because we work so well together. You could rename them any titles. I mean, as Elon Musk says, titles are irrelevant. So I'm going to be, you know, techno king now, or whatever. But it's really about how you're managing the business. And, you know, from the business side, we play off each other really well. And it's been a great, you know, collaboration that he can focus on electrical and I can focus on mechanical. And, you know, push this whole thing forward.
I do have another question that came in from some of our viewers regarding the Paradigm Edition. Some of our viewers have ordered the Paradigm. Is that going to differ from the Launch Edition? Will there be something different for the Paradigm?
Yeah. So how it will work and how we discussed it with the marketing team is, if you get a Launch Edition vehicle and you have a Paradigm order, you'll receive a Launch Edition vehicle Paradigm. So, you know, the Paradigm Edition will be special, but those people are kind of all over the delivery chart, right? So some people have a 1,000 mile Paradigm. A lot of, you know, maybe a third of them have switched over to the Launch Edition. So, but if you switched over to the Launch Edition and you get your vehicle first from the Launch Edition, then you'll receive a Launch Edition Paradigm. So the Paradigm will just be extra fun stuff that makes the vehicle special and obviously worth more too, because it's a paradigm edition. Right. So you can get a double whammy on how cool your Aptera is by getting a launch edition, paradigm edition, that everybody will be envious of, hopefully.
Excellent. Well, they'll be happy with that answer.
They will. So before we let you go, Chris, if you could just tell our viewers one thing that you will later wish you didn't spill.
That I wish you didn't spill.
That's if you tough. Think about it, you're gonna mess up and not tell us anything.
He was trying to trick you. Sorry about him.
You know, I probably would say I like dark chocolate.
And Chant does too.
I've fallen victim before by telling people I like rum, and people give me rum. So I have this cabinet full of just tons and tons of
more chocolate
rum than I will ever drink in my life. But you know, that's something that that got out of the bag years ago. Chris likes rum, so people get Chris rum. So maybe something I shouldn't let slip now is I like dark chocolate too.
Yeah, you're gonna just watch your mailbox. It's coming from our viewers, I'm sure. Thank you for taking time to be with us, Chris. We know you're busy and we appreciate you carving out a few minutes. It means the world to our viewers and to us. And we thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for all your channel supporters, support of Aptera. And you know, I hope you guys keep growing and keep giving people great information about not just us, but the whole EV industry and how EVs can make the world a better place.